The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy he went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Very simple. These are the words of Jesus, just saying this is what the kingdom is like. Let me read that first part again. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. So let me tell you this funny little story. I was a teenager growing up in the States, the Free States, Bloemfontein. And so this is in the 90s. This is early 90s. Okay, giving away my age here because I look good. Yeah, some might say my wife at least. So I'm a teenager in the 90s growing up in Bloemfontein, and we used to skate. And we had this little gang of skaters, but you couldn't get skating gear, I think, in like even in South Africa. I mean, your boards, you wouldn't get from a skate shop. You would get it from like a cycling shop, and then the guy got a couple decks in and some trucks and things. And so we used to buy these magazines. They also used to have these, I don't know if you guys remember that, but you used to get these shops, and they used to buy old international magazines and sell them for really cheap, if you guys remember that. So we used to get a magazine called the Thrasher magazine. And so you check all these guys doing these crazy kickflips down like seven stairs and flying through the air and, yeah, probably breaking bones after the photo was taken. But and then in between these images were the ads, okay? And the ads in skate magazines back then were mostly shoes, skate shoes. So we would see all these really cool skate shoes, but you couldn't get you literally couldn't get them in the country. Things like Vans, actually back then, no one knew about Vans. So Vans, and they were really ugly back then, by the way. Vans, DVS, Etnies, ES, Airwalks, all these kind of really cool skate shoes. So, but you couldn't get them. Then one day arrives in our post the game brochure. Okay? Who likes going to the game brochure and seeing, ooh, what? Is it just me? So I get the game brochure. In the middle of the game brochure, and back then Game didn't sell clothing, they had skate shoes. I mean, all these brands, and they were selling them for 99 Rand a pair. So what had happened, I kind of put two and two together, is they had somehow gotten containers full of old sneakers from the States, and they were selling them in Game for like 99 Rand. I remember taking this brochure and going like, no one must know. So I can get them. I went to my dad. I said, Dad, we have to go. You can take my pocket money for the rest of my life. But please, let's go. So off we went to Game. And lo and behold, in the middle of the store, there was this big pile almost to the roof of skating shoes. And my dad even bought in. He bought himself about four pairs. I went about five, six, seven pairs. I can't even remember different sizes, so they would last me, you know. And very few people knew what these shoes actually were because they were 99 Rand. And skate shoes don't look like much, you know. Like the real skate shoes, actually, it's really well built, but it doesn't look like much. But anyway, it was this picture of this treasure that I discovered and that I knew, like, whatever it takes, I need to get this. Because they were worth so much more. And I often think of this story when I think of this scripture. Little different, little bit more consumerism vibes. But our motto is dying to live. It's what the Bible calls sold out for Jesus. It's Jesus in John 12, verse 23. Jesus replied, now the time has come. So he's kind of predicting his death and sharing it with his disciples, "The time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity." And that's this first man who found the treasure in the field and sold everything to get it. But the amazing thing is that that first scripture I read, it says, in his joy, he went and he sold and bought. It wasn't a difficult thing. It wasn't difficult for me to say, take my pocket money for eternity, because I knew the value of the treasure. This man knew, and it's in joy that he goes. And so as I was pondering on this thing about worship and God, he revealed this through a scripture that I'm going to share in a little bit. I often like to ask myself, why do we do this? Why do I do this? And I started with, why do I worship? And now there's these great kind of biblical explanations and very Christianese things I could say, like, because he's worthy, because he created this beautiful kind of creation, because he requires us to worship him. It's in the commandments. But to be honest, as I really reflected, why do I worship? I actually landed for a selfish reason. I worship to recalibrate myself. I'm going to explain to you in a moment. Can you pull up that picture of that 1A picture of a compass? So, this is a compass. It's a navigation device. Nowadays, there's fancy GPSs and things. But basically, how a compass works is it's got a little needle on a little axis, and the needle is drawn to the Earth's magnetic field. And so the south pole of the needle will always point towards what's known as magnetic north, okay, which is in the direction of the North Pole, because that's where the Earth's magnetic fields meet. So this is the picture I got for us and for this recalibration process. And the thing is with a compass is you don't actually calibrate the compass. The needle is always pointing to magnetic north. What changes is my stance. So if I'm lost in the mountains, I'm holding a compass, I need to find north, I turn until it faces magnetic north. And this is what worship is for me. It's a process of looking at the Father again and finding his favor and finding his face. And that's what I mean. So it's in a way it's selfish because I know this is what I need. But then that's how I find where to go again. And as I kind of broke down the compass, the true north. Okay, so I was telling you about magnetic north. There's actually a difference between magnetic north and true north. And if you just follow where the needle's pointing, you, depending on where you are in the world, you might actually miss the true north. And so there's this process they call declination, I think I've got it right. But it's where you, depending on where you are, you've got to tune yourself. And it's usually, I think if you're in South Africa, it's you're probably like 4 degrees or something because we straight up. But if you're in the States, then you've got it's quite a radical kind of difference where it's going to point you because you're more angle. You know what I'm saying? Imagine the globe. So the true north is Jesus. Okay? The needle is the Holy Spirit. It's always pointing at Jesus. And we have the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we can be walking in this direction. The needle's still pointing there, and he's still with us, But if we don't take the time to go, oh, wait, we can miss Jesus, and we can miss some of the inheritance he has for us. And so worship for me is this process of like being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and turning and finding the face of Jesus again. So I want to read this scripture. This is where this kind of all began, is where I read this scripture. And it's Matthew 6, verse 19 to 24. I've got the NLT version, yeah. Let me read this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay, end it there. So, what I feel like God wants to do with us is He wants the desires of our hearts to be on Him again, on this true north again. So the goal is for the desires of our heart to be for true north, and I think we all want that. It's that's why we're here. So this scripture starts at the don'ts, and so I'm going to look a little bit at the don'ts. And so it talks about moths, where moths eat and rust destroys. And I looked into moths a little bit. I don't know why. I probably went on a little Google tangent, but hopefully the Holy Spirit was kind of helping me navigate through this. So moths, most of us have seen a moth. It's this ugly little thing that eats your linen, and your parents used to put mothballs in the linen cupboard. Nowadays, we don't even have linen cupboards. We just throw stuff out when it starts getting tardy. But, okay, there we go. There's a little moth, a little nasty little guy, isn't he? Pretty obvious. Like, I don't want that thing in my cupboard. But the more I started delving, I realized people are infatuated with moths. There's people, and a lot of people, like, moths can actually be more beautiful than butterflies. And can you show the next little guy? How's this oak? He looks like an eagle. Eh? It's a pretty impressive moth. Look at the next guy. This is like the queen moth. She's got her royal robes. Okay, go to the next moth. Look at that. That's pretty awesome, eh? And look at this last guy. How's that? This is a giant Asian moth. And I felt in this thing that the moths sometimes aren't what they appear to be. That good things that look like good things, that look beautiful, can be the very things that's going to eat our treasure. And then gold, it talks about gold and, rust. Alluded to where I'm going. It talks about rust. And rust is the oxidization of metal. It's basically, and most metals rust. There's a few metals, and they're called noble metals, like gold, which doesn't rust. Gold doesn't corrode at all. And I once watched this docu of these guys that go treasure hunting under the ocean floor, and they can see the gold meters away because there's nothing. It looks as good as it looks when they pull it out the ground and kind of purify it or whatever. It's like shining, like nothing sticks to it. Any other metal, you won't even see if there's brass or, you know, whatever, some valuable metals. You can't even see them. You've got to find them with little tracking devices. And even the Bible talks about us being refined to be a pure gold. It talks about gold in heaven, you know, built into the pavement and the bricks and whatever. But then I found this scripture. It's James verse 5:2-3. Now, James actually alludes to this scripture in the Beatitudes that Jesus was talking about. And it says, let me just read. I got the New American Standard. I like the way they put it. Very similar. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted. And their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. See, here's, what's this? This is gold that's rusting. That's something that can appear to be a good, even godly, even kingdomly thing can actually be rusted and be some of your treasure rusting away. And it's a scary thought. And then the thing that really hit home for me was, it is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure in the wrong place. So you can, you know, I always tell people it's a long distance race. And you can run this amazing race, but in the last days, you can actually start storing treasure in the wrong place. And that's a scary thought, like that you can be this amazing, and we've heard the stories of these guys that they're amazing preachers and lead churches of thousands, and then right in the end, they just lose so much of their inheritance. So those are the don'ts. And I just felt just some warnings for us to be really careful what we're looking at and where we're putting our treasure. And so if we can go back to this Matthew 6:19 scripture about not storing up treasures, I want to read that second part because that gets into this thing about the eye. And it says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? I'll end it there. So, there's something about the eyes just having to get filled with light in order for us to see where we're going. And that's part of this recalibration, is facing Him, facing the light. And then I was reminded, the scripture says, His word is a lamp unto my feet. I think it's in the Psalms. But so even when there's darkness and you can't see your compass, it's this thing that's going to be able to shed light on where to go. So maybe in the nighttime you're trying to navigate, you don't have a light. It's knowing this. That's why I love worship songs. And I asked the guys this morning I love worship songs that are full of the word of God, that are full of truth, that are full of this is who God is. Because it helps us to recalibrate ourselves and to really look upon Him. So how do we change the desires of our heart? How do we get this thing? I'm almost done, and then we're going to go into a time of worship. I think we all have the desire. The desire is there. And like that story I was telling when I found that kind of brochure for game, multiply that by 1,000, and that was this day in 2005 when I was sitting on my bed and I got this revelation that heaven is real and Jesus has made a way for me to go there. And that was the treasure. And we all had, most of us have had that treasure moment. So the treasure is there. It's just a reminder that He is the treasure. And it's just continually turning and looking on Him. The treasure is there. We have the treasure. Just remember and be filled with these things. Let your eyes, the lamp of your eyes, be filled with the truth. Be filled with Him, gazing on Him. And, oh man, there's so many things vying for our attention, and that's a scary whole another preach for another day. But for now, it's like, okay, just knowing we have the treasure, knowing what not to do so the rust and the moths don't steal away, and just turning to Him again. So I really felt like that if there are some people here that this is resonating, but you feel like you haven't found the treasure, you've heard and your heart is crying out for this treasure that you're prepared to give everything up for. And in a moment, I'm gonna pray for us, and I'm gonna ask, if you're here this morning and you feel the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart, just to be brave, I'm just gonna ask you to raise your hand, and together we're gonna pray for you. I'm not gonna call you out or embarrass you in any way, but this is an opportunity for you to meet this King, this treasure, this Jesus, who made a way for us to spend eternity with Him. He made a way for us to be able to invest in a treasure that's never going to fade, that no moth, no rust can come and steal away.